From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this lovely April 8th, 2015. So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. We've got a doozy of a show today. Of course, we will be talking about the Detroit Red Wings as they are fighting for their playoff lives right now. They get a huge win last night over the Hurricanes. We'll talk about the Wings as they try to make it 24 straight playoff appearances, the longest active postseason streak in North American sports. Wow, that's pretty impressive, right? Also, since we didn't get to chat about this yesterday, the Michigan Spring Game, we'll give you our takeaways from that. We'll also be chatting with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, Lansing Lucknuts play-by-play announcer, as the season will unofficially start on Thursday and officially start this weekend. And we'll also talk about UConn. Man, are they dominant or what? Gino Auriemma winning his 10th national title. Yes, number 10, folks. That's unbelievable. We'll talk about that as well as take your calls all throughout this hour. But hey, let's start this show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 8th. Folks, the defending Great Lakes West Division champs, Lansing United, has made single-game tickets now available to the public. Now, of course, Lansing United are Lansing's very own minor league soccer team. The season starts in, get this, just less than a month. Now, tickets purchased online are $5 for adults, $3 for children, 12 and under. Tickets purchased on game day at the East Lansing Soccer Complex will be $8 for adults and $5 for children, 12 and under. All right, in honor of Spartan superfan Lacey Holdsworth, of course, the 8-year-old little girl who unfortunately lost her battle with cancer a year ago today, students are painting the rock again in memory of her. Now, Lacey grew a bond, of course, with former Spartan and current Minnesota Timberwolf forward Adrian Payne and the rest of the MSU men's basketball team that captured the hearts of the nation. So as we speak, they are currently painting the rock. If you're on campus, definitely stop by and check that out. Really a touching scene. All right, the Oakland University basketball court got a recent makeover, and Oakland head coach Greg Campy posted a photo of the updated basketball court at the Athletic Center at the O Arena on Tuesday. Now, the new court is stained mostly black and features the team's Golden Grizzly logo at half court. Before the overhaul, the court was only stained black with the three-point perimeter on each end. Now, the new design gives the court a playground blacktop feel. If you haven't checked out Greg Campy's photo of it, pretty cool to say the least. It kind of reminds you of just, like you said, you know, playing some street ball out on the basketball court. Very cool addition to the OU and O Arena that is now donning a blacktop. All right, the Red Wings, they rallied past the Carolina Hurricanes 3-2 behind third period goals from Gustav Nyquist and Pavel Datsyuk. The win could have clinched Detroit a 24th consecutive playoff berth had the Pittsburgh Penguins beaten the Ottawa Senators. But the Senators, of course, were able to secure a win over the Penguins in overtime. Now, the Red Wings are now in third place in the Atlantic Division. And again, you know, nothing solidified. They're still fighting for their playoff lives. We'll talk about the Wings in just a sec. Detroit Tigers, they take on the Minnesota Twins today at home at approximately 1:08 p.m., so just 4 minutes from as we speak. Now, Anibal Sanchez will take the mound for the Tigers as he tries to pitch Detroit to their first series win in four tries against the visiting Twins, with JV, Justin Verlander, moved back in the rotation until at least Sunday because of a tricep strain. Sanchez will be making his season debut a day early. The Detroit Pistons, they look to play spoiler tonight as they host the 8th-seeded Boston Celtics. Greg Monroe is playing for the first time in 8 games, coming off a right knee strain. Now, Boston is a half game up on the Miami Heat for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Getting down to the nitty-gritty in the NBA, folks. All right, UConn won its 10th national title overall and third straight with a 63-53 win over the number one seed Notre Dame. Now, the win for, of course, UConn women's basketball coach Gino Auriemma matches John Wooden, the great John Wooden, for the most ever by a college basketball coach. For UConn, Kalina Mosqueda Lewis and Moriah Jefferson led the way, each scoring 15 points. And get this, Rory McIlroy is more marketable than Tiger Woods? Now, that's according to a survey of 43 marketers, tournament directors, and media conducted by industry trade magazine Sports Business Daily. Now, in second place was Ricky Fowler, followed by Woods, with Phil Mickelson and Jordan Spieth rounding out the top five. Interesting list. All right, well, those are your current sports quickie headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Well, without further ado, hey, let's start the show. Yes, the Detroit Red Wings fighting for their playoff lives. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully, you're all having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Boy, oh boy, thrilling game last night. Thrilling game last night. Again, the Red Wings, they rallied past the Carolina Hurricanes 3-2 behind third period goals from Gustav Nyquist and, of course, Pavel Datsyuk, as you just heard. Again, Detroit right now, they are trying to make it 24 straight playoff berths, folks. Man. Now, again, folks, I'm 24 years old. Since I've been on this earth, I have not seen the Red Wings not make the playoffs. I mean, it's unbelievable, an unbelievable streak. Actually, the longest active postseason streak in North American sports, folks. Very impressive, but man, have they been, really putting you Red Wing fans kind of through the dryer and through the ringer, just kind of just having you guys, you know, as the season dwindles down, you know, chomping on your fingernails just to see if this team can pull off yet another postseason stretch. Due to Pittsburgh losing to the Ottawa Senators, it didn't guarantee the Wings 24 straight playoff appearance. The Penguins, of course, lost in overtime. And, you know, of course, they were beaten by the Ottawa Senators. But again, you know, it's very interesting now to see the Wings sort of, you know, having just to step up their game now, you know, as the season dwindles down. Now, again, somebody who really stood out to me last night, who actually called himself out before that game yesterday, was, of course, Henrik Zetterberg. He had a goal and an assist in last night's 3-2 win. And before last night, you know, Henrik hadn't scored dating all the way back until March 15th. Really interesting, you know, how Henrik sort of just kind of woke his own self up. So right now, they are in desperation mode. This team knows that, and you can kind of sense it. Of course, as the season dwindles down, of course, I want to invite now, of course, our engineer here on WKAR's Current Sports. Well, Alex Sharp, we'll get to him in just a sec. He's busy behind the glass right now. We definitely want to get his take on the Red Wings. And, of course, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And you know what? Looking at this stretch, I mean, there's multiple things that hasn't gone right for Detroit right now during this late stretch in the year. Defense hasn't been great. Goaltending has been subpar. Coaching certainly could have been better throughout this year, to be honest with you. And I've even heard multiple reports here and there that maybe, you know, it, depending on how this last stretch of this year goes, maybe Mike Babcock may be on the hot seat. You know, maybe his job is on the line right now. Maybe he is coaching for his job as we speak. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, man. Yeah, I was there last night watching the Detroit Red Wings game and then subsequently the Pittsburgh Penguins and Ottawa Senators game. And just to your last comment, I don't think Mike Babcock is on the hot seat. I think that there goes a lot more from Mike Babcock than just his poor performance this year. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Wings still have a 24th and soon to be probably 25th straight playoff appearance.
Well, this would be their 24th if they do lock it
up. Oh, right. They're 24th. And overall, the only rumor that really comes with Mike Babcock is him going to Toronto. I don't think there's any rumor of him necessarily losing his job with the Red Wings. But overall, the reasons you gave for goaltending and lack of consistency is true. But really, it came from when Pavel Datsyuk was injured. That's what really brought this team down and really kind of lost their streak and kind of took away their main playmaking element out of their line. So I think now that Datsyuk is back and you saw him basically win it last night for the Wings, making some big plays down the stretch, that's really what matters. And I think this team is going to be good if they can hold on to that number six spot, seven spot maybe. But overall, man, I mean, the Wings are still holding that massive streak and are still a great team.
Yeah, and when you look at history for this team the past 2 years, actually, if you rewind the clock two years ago, we've seen the Red Wings, again, going back to the recent history of this squad, I mean, they have limped into the playoffs the past 3 years now. 2 years ago, the Wings, again, had gotten 9 out of possible 10 points in their closing 5 regular season games, of course, lifting them to that 7th seed in the Western Conference playoffs. They upset number 2 seed Anaheim in the first round and nearly stole a Game 7 against eventual Stanley Cup champion Chicago in the second round. Then last year, they stumbled their way into the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference with only 2 wins in their last 5 games. And not surprisingly, there was really just kind of a hangover that carried over into the first round of the playoffs against Boston. The Bruins physically manhandled the Wings in 5 games. So, I mean, you're starting to see a trend late in the year where, you know, a once highly touted Wings team, again, that were really highly spoken of during the beginning to middle of the year, has really just haven't found its stride as the season has dwindled down. And now you find this team sort of just needing wins each and every game to secure a playoff spot. So, and again, going back to it, I mean, again, you know, other than, you know, their recent struggles when it comes to scoring and getting those points, and of course in late game situations as well, we all know that the Wings have struggled when it comes to shootouts and overtime periods. But again, you know, the goaltending hasn't really been there. That has to do with also injuries for this squad. Defense hasn't been great, you know, allowing the puck not to stay in the zone for too long. And again, you know, right now, you know, you're starting to see this team. The Wings always play great when their backs are against the wall. So I do think at the end of the day, and it's kind of jumbled for that 8th spot right now. Detroit, of course, with that win yesterday, their streak is only 1. But looking at Boston right now, Boston has won 5 games, you know, 5 straight games. You know, holding down that 8th spot. Pittsburgh, which are essentially, you know, Detroit and Pittsburgh are really, really battling for that playoff spot. The Wings now holding. They really needed those three goals last night because they now only have a one-point lead over the Pittsburgh Penguins, 97-96 in that battle. But Pittsburgh is really struggling. They've now lost four games, so that certainly bodes in Detroit's favor. But, man, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Detroit holds off the rest of the pack as the season dwindles down right now. At the end of the day, I don't think anything is guaranteed, even though the streak is still incredible. I mean, 24 straight, that's what they're going for right now. It's hard to fathom that you will see a postseason without the Red Wings. But, hey, you know, history, you know, all you say, all good things must come to an end. I'm not saying that here because I do think they'll make the playoffs, but, man, oh, man, are they making this a very close race nonetheless?
You know, they sure are. And overall, man, the thing about the NHL playoffs, as we saw from the Kings several years back as an 8 seed, is anything is possible. The Wings, now that they're getting their guys back that matter, aside from maybe the goaltending situation, which is kind of still in limbo, but now that Datsyuk's back, the team is that much better. So they can, I think they can make a deep run, really. I mean, anything's possible with
you
the
do.
NHL.
You do. You think they will. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, again, momentum is big. If they do close out the season on a bit of a win streak, maybe that momentum carries into the playoffs. We'll see. What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to transition now, Alex, because we didn't get to discuss this on yesterday's show, but the Michigan spring football game was not a thrilling one whatsoever over the weekend. Of course, Michigan, only one touchdown, scored a 7-0 game. And, you know, I feel like there are a lot of U of M fans out there that are really staying optimistic, more so because of the man who's driving this seat and driving this car, I should say. I, you know, looking at Jim Harbaugh, of course, there's a lot of hype surrounded by his hire, and deservedly so. I mean, anytime, you know, you can, you know, you get attain a coach to a program like Jim Harbaugh, who has one incredible resume, especially when you look at the success that he's had at the next level in the NFL, that is going to garner a lot of attention. But I just feel as though that the realistic expectations for Michigan football fans out there aren't realistic whatsoever. You know, I think this team certainly has still a long way to go, a lot of screws loose that need to be tightened up a little bit. And when you look at it, again, right now the QB situation is a glaring, that really has the spotlight for this team. Shane Morris is the leading QB right now, according to Harbaugh and his coaching staff, and looking at what took place over the weekend. You know, he's competing right now with freshman QB Alex Malzone. Of course, we all know about quarterback transfer Jake Ruddock from Iowa that should be donning a maize and blue jersey very, very soon. The Michigan defense really stole the show over the weekend. Senior linebacker Joe Bolden and junior linebacker Ben Gideon were big factors. Bolden led the maize team with 12 tackles. Gideon had 6. But again, I think that, you know, when you look at the defense, you got to take that with a grain of salt because that offense right now for U of M is just not great. Let's just be honest here, folks. The secondary also looked good for Michigan. Sophomore Brandon Watson, junior Delano Hill, those are two big names that are certainly thrown around a lot with this squad. Both Watson and Hill actually had INTs for this team. But I just feel as though right now, when you look at U of M football, you cannot expect Jim Harbaugh to come in and totally change this squad around in his first year of head coach. And I feel like that's the expectations that a lot of Michigan football fans have out there. Am I right or am I wrong, Alex? What is your take?
Yeah, no, the quarterback situation is definitely the flashing light there. And just a dark horse who you didn't mention is incoming freshman Zach Gentry out of New Mexico. I mean, this is a guy who Harbaugh stole from the Southern schools late down the stretch in the recruiting process. He hasn't really been allowed on campus yet. Also, at the same time, it is the spring game. There's still a lot more football to go over the summer. So I think, as we'll see with the transfer from Iowa and Shane Morris and Alex Malzone, there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking. And I'm sure the fact that they have so many QBs on that roster that are talented, that could probably play at a lot of other schools, you might see some transfers coming.
I disagree. I disagree with that, man. I don't think Shane Morris is that great. I haven't seen much of Alex Malzone, but what I saw over the weekend wasn't that impressive. I don't think the quarterback core is where it needs to be right now. Well, I'm not impressed with their quarterbacks.
Well, you know
Ruddock, I think, is going to be the starting QB next year.
All right. Well, you know what? What I really meant was that the fact that they have a transfer, Shane Morris, they have a couple walk-ons that are decent. Matt Thompson out of Illinois is pretty decent too. But then I'm saying for two incoming freshmen to be together, I'm saying one of those freshmen, whether it's Gentry or Malzone, you could see one of those guys transfer because, you know, right now you have four or five quarterbacks that could start on other teams.
I don't know, man. I watched that spring game on the BTN because, of course, they replay it like 1,000 times. And just watching the offense, I was not impressed whatsoever. Now, again, this is spring. It's still early. They have a lot of kinks to work out. But right now, from what I saw on the spring game, that's all I can – I'm not on the coaching staff. I'm not seeing this team on a regular basis. From what I saw on what took place over the weekend in the spring game, Michigan's offense is limping right now. I don't know. And looking at another thing I want to hit on, of course, the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line for U of M, which historically has churned out tons of NFL talent, it's like a hallmark of the program, which is not being great over the past few years, specifically in the Brady Hoke era. The offensive line didn't look great either over the weekend at all. Also, the running back core, Derek Green, Davion Smith, they really didn't stand out as far as the running backs are concerned. I tell you what, out of the three running backs between Derek Green, Davion Smith, Ross Taylor Douglas, Ross Taylor Douglas was really the most impressive player out of those three. He looked to be the quickest back. He's 5'10", 186 pounds, but he is very, very speedy. So, didn't see much from the RBs, though. Offensive line, I don't know. I just think you need to temper the expectations, folks, when talking about the U of M football program. Jim Harbaugh is not a miracle worker. I mean, he's a great coach, don't get me wrong. But again, this team, it needs to still rebuild here. So I just want to say, just pump the brakes, folks. Pump the brakes, because Michigan still has a little bit ways to go, I think.
One big move that they made, though, on defense was moving Jabril Peppers to the safety position. And as far as I'm concerned, that is working out very well. I mean, he played it in high school. It's originally, I think, what he wanted to play when he came to Michigan. And on the secondary side, that also opened up room for, like you said, Delano Hill and some of those other guys to make those interceptions. So I think that was a great move on the defense side of the ball. And, hey, give the defense some credit, man. I mean, from producing a two-star like Jake Ryan into an unbelievable player and looking at some of the other guys on that roster, maybe the defense is pretty good too. And
I don't know.
Maybe you got to give credit where it's due at the same time.
They were going against a bad offense, Alex. So I don't know, man.
I don't know. Well, one thing also to think about when it comes to the interceptions, they're rolling two, right, from the spring game, two interceptions.
Yeah.
One interception went off the receiver's hand and one of the corners barely caught the ball. So that kind of stuff happens in football sometimes. It's not necessarily a quarterback's throw. Sometimes it's the receiver, as you saw from Michigan State football several times over the last 2 years.
That's why I'm not impressed with that defense still. I mean, yesterday you got to take that with a huge card of salt because, again, they were not going against a great offense. I don't know. I don't know. It's still early. I'm not trying to hate on the U of M football program, folks. I'm just saying from what I saw during that spring game, I'm just not impressed. I think this team still has a long way to go, and I think Jim Harbaugh will come in and eventually do a fantastic job. Will that be in his first year? I don't know. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, he has just entered the building, ladies and gents. One of my good friends in this industry, play-by-play announcer for the Lansing Lugnuts. Can you believe that we're already talking baseball here in Lansing? Jesse Goldberg-Strassler joins me in studio in the blink of an eye. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Orman Alney on the Next to the Point. Kenya has completed official mourning over 147 people killed at Garissa University College, but the terrorist group Al-Shabaab is still threatening to make the nation run red with blood. Can Islamic extremism divide a mostly Christian country once seen as an anchor of economic stability? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Space. The family frontier.
The big difference is going to be when he gets back from this mission, he will have spent to the day 10 times the amount in space. So, you know, they should be able to learn a lot about us.
Astronaut Mark Kelly on his twin brother's year in space. That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this beautiful April 8th, 2015. Happy Hump Day, folks. Hope you're having a great one. Of course, each and every Wednesday night, we tape Current Sports TV in our WKRTV studios, but I got word this morning he is one of the busiest men I've ever met in my life. Tom Manassas, head hockey coach for the MSU hockey team. He's actually on the road for, he got caught last minute this morning, so he will not be joining me tonight. However, we will have Big Ten Player of the Year, Jake Hildebrand, in the house tonight at 6 p.m. for WKAR's Current Sports TV. Again, folks, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. It's still going to be an incredible taping nonetheless. You'll get to see all of our coverage out there in Indianapolis, Indiana for the Final Four. It's going to be a fun time. So if you can't come to the taping, of course, you know that Current Sports TV airs on your televisions each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. Well, we've got our guest for today's Current Sports Radio in the house right now. He is a very good friend of mine, and I tell you what, if you haven't listened to him do his thing on the radio, you're not living. You're not living, folks. His name is Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. He is the Lansing Lugnuts play-by-play announcer. Jesse, how you doing?
Afternoon, Al. You are too kind.
You are the man. I tell you, you are. Talk about being one of the busiest mans in Michigan. I mean, you're doing play-by-play for the CMU women's basketball team. You're doing high school hoops. I mean, it never stops for you, man.
I just like watching sports. That's as simple as that, right?
I always say, I mean, when you love what you do, you never work another day in your life,
right?
That's
exactly right.
And you definitely do. Now, Jesse, first off, man, I mean, we're on the brink right now of another Lansing Lugnut season.
Number 20.
I can't believe 20 seasons. This is a big year, a very special year for you guys. And I tell you what, I actually live right down the street from Cooley Law School Stadium. And I'm driving by each and every day to and from work. And I'm seeing what is happening there with the construction of the apartments to the new scoreboard. I mean, for you, this has to be, again, 20 years. What exactly for you, you know, just as a fan of the game, not even just in your profession, being play-by-play announcer for this squad, what gets you excited on the brink of a new season?
Baseball being back, because baseball brings the best weather of the year. I was standing around watching batting practice for the first time in months, and just hearing the crack of the bat live, seeing the players go about their paces, puts me into a good mood. Baseball just brings me some happiness. Football gets my heart going. I start getting emotional, angry a little bit.
Right, the testosterone.
I'm ready for my guys to just destroy the other team. And baseball is the opposite. Baseball relaxes me.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Now, you know, going back, before we dive into the Lansing Lugnuts year, I want to bring up, of course, you broadcasting for the CMU women's basketball team. Of course, also doing play-by-play for Michigan High School Hoops, which was a very entertaining year, to say the least. I mean, how was that experience for you being, you know, in Chippewa land, you know, hitting the mic for them, as well as, of course, high school hoops, which you do just about every year?
The folks in Mount Pleasant could not have been better. And by the end of the year, I've got a wardrobe filled with maroon and gold. Love the coaching staff. The players were terrific. And it was a disappointing year for them. They lost arguably their top three players due to injury.
Oh,
Crystal
wow.
Bradford, I'm expecting her to go on to the WNBA. But Jessica Green, their star point guard, she went down in the last minute of the last game before the conference schedule.
Oh,
that
wow.
changed their year. They were predicted by everyone. They're going to win the MAC, and then that sabotaged their season.
Oh boy!
Now, they're going to be good next year, but this was going to be a special year. And yet watching a five-member freshman class battle through and grow up together because they had to, each one of them got starts, I'd say they overachieved by the time they were done.
Now, will you be back rocking the mic for this team next year as well?
Oh, yeah.
My
oh,
man,
yeah.
Jesse, I tell you, one of the most busy guys I've ever met in my life. Now, of course, and also for high school hoops, I mean, what was it like for you? I mean, seeing for me, one of the most memorable moments for me looking at last year was seeing Lansing Everett, of course, Trevor Manuel, and of course, I actually saw you and Eric Doc Love of 92.1, the team. You guys were broadcasting that incredible game, Lansing Everett versus Muskegon. Have you ever seen a high school game that packed? I've never seen an atmosphere like that.
I did last year.
Did you?
Last year when Flint Beecher took on Pawama Westphalia, and I swear to you, it was a fire hazard how many people were packed in.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that to put down either game. I'm saying every single year, once you get to the quarterfinals, once you start getting close to Breslin Center, everybody shows from the city. Everybody shows from the region. Because if you're a basketball fan and you realize Deontay Davis and Trevor Manuel are both on this court and something's on the line, and one of them, this is going to be his last high school game, Oh, baby. You could feel it at the start, just how tight everybody was. Suddenly, here comes Travis Trice. Denzel Valentine starts walking in. Everybody's into it. And the way that Everett took control in the third quarter was awesome.
Right, wasn't it? And, you know, the thing about Don Johnson Fieldhouse that's so just unbelievable, it has your jaw on the floor, literally, is how big it is. And to see that the bleachers were packed all the way from the ceiling of that building all the way down. I mean, you still had, you know, I believe an estimated like 4,000 to 5,000 people in one gym.
And how many people got turned away from the door? I've got friends, they bought 4 of the last 6 tickets remaining.
Wow.
They must have turned away 500 to 1,000 people. They could not get in because there was no space.
Oh, certainly an unbelievable year. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, of course, Lansing Lugnuts play-by-play announcer, of course, CMU women's basketball play-by-play announcer. He does high school hoops. What doesn't Jesse do, all right? Now, Jesse, I want to talk about the Lansing Lugnuts year because this is certainly an exciting year. First off, new manager. Ken Huckabee, right? What do you know about him?
Well, he was the Lugnuts hitting coach last year. He's pumped to have his first ever year skippering a team. A former major leaguer. He gets a lot of, I would say, publicity that he'd rather wouldn't get because if you YouTube him, he took out Derek Jeter.
Exactly.
For months.
Yes.
But
yes.
Huck is awesome. Huck combines authority with the ability to crack you up anytime, any place. His son Kyle actually plays baseball on the Eastern Michigan team.
Oh, wow.
So every time that he gets the chance, he'll go over and he'll support EMU. He is embracing Michigan, and the players love him. He is ready for this team, and he's got prospects. He's got a 19-year-old shortstop named Richard Urania, switch hitter. They say he's major league ready defensively right now.
Right now, so he may not be a Lugnut for long, huh?
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll have to see.
Well, keep in mind, too, 2 Lugnuts from last year are already in the major leagues.
Wow, how about that, huh?
Miguel Castro's in the Blue Jays bullpen, skip AA, skip AAA. Kendall Graveman's in the Oakland Athletics starting rotation. He was a Lugnut last April. He was a Blue Jay in September. So the Blue Jays will say, hey, if you're excelling, go on up.
There you go. I mean, and you know, looking at, of course, not only the team. Oh, actually, the Meet the Team event is tonight at 7, right? Tell the folks about that.
Yeah, 7 p.m. Show up at the ballpark. It's at the Auto Owners Insurance Suite level. At first, there's a meet and greet with the players, team autograph session. Then I'll introduce them all individually. You can shake hands, mingle. And then afterward, food, beverage supplied right there for you to enjoy and schmooze with the Lugnuts. It's for them to meet you, you to meet them, but also welcome them to Mid-Michigan because some of the players, they've never been here before, and they've heard from their teammates in spring training, elsewhere. Lansing supports its team.
Oh, certainly.
They have never played in a stadium like this. They've never been in a city like this. This is going to be a baseball experience that will dwarf anything else that they've had.
Certainly. Now, of course, is this event free? You don't have to purchase tickets beforehand,
free.
Right?
Yeah, free. Walk on in.
Just come on out. Walk on in.
Walk upstairs. We'll be ready for you. Meet
Fantastic.
The Lugnuts. Take pictures.
That's going to be a fun time. Again, folks, that's tonight at 7 at Cooley Law School Stadium. Meet the team. Again, we are on the brink of another season for the Lansing Lugnuts. Again, one of my favorite coverages as a reporter here in the area. Now, again, looking at the stadium, I tell you, Jesse, I mean, look at, because I drove by the other day, and it didn't really click with me that it was a new scoreboard until I was kind of standing here in traffic, and I looked to my left, I'm like, does that look bigger, or am I just, or am I tripping right now?
And it didn't used to be there, because there used to be the scoreboard in center field.
Right,
and now
right.
It's in left, $1 million HD video board, and we've got ribbon boards in right, ribbon boards around the facing of the suite. Oh, it's sweet.
Oh, my goodness. What other additions are taking place at the stadium as we speak?
The fun thing is, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we invite everybody to show up. It's a grand reopening, ribbon-cutting ceremony. Virge Bernero will be on hand. Tom Dixon, the owner of the team, will be on hand, and we'll say, here, check out the new and improved Cooley Law School Stadium. We used to have half the seating bowl, bleacher seats. No longer the case. Stadium seating, permanent stadium seating directly behind home plate, extending up beyond each dugout. Down the left field line, there was the bleacher section.
Right.
No more. That is now the Pepsi porch. It is tiered picnic table, swivel seat seating. That is all you can eat for
$31. $31 all you can eat? Oh,
yes.
I need to make a trip out there just to enjoy a ball game, not even to report. I mean, that sounds unbelievable, Jesse.
And now 360-degree concourse. I would take folks out for a tour before we get to left center. We'd have to stop, turn around, walk all the way back. No, you can now walk entirely around the stadium.
Wow, that is pretty cool stuff. And not only that, I believe, is it later this month or is it next, where the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame will be unveiling, right? What is that exact date?
That's my pet project. Wait until June 27th.
June 27th, that's what it is, right.
That is Hall of Fame Day. We'll have 10 inductees this year, and it's going to be along that left center field walk. Like the Yankees have their Walk of Fame, yeah, we'll have our Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame, and you can walk, watch the game, and there are the plaques right there in front of you.
That is too cool, Jesse. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we are chatting with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, play-by-play announcer for the Lansing Lugnuts. Now, something also that I want to inquire about, Jesse, is, of course, the apartments that are being built in the outfield. What's the progression like of that looking like right now? And will, because I know it's not completely done.
No. We'll have people driving past, and they'll say, oh, the stadium needs so much work. And we say, wait, take a deep breath. The apartment complex, the outfield, that'll be ready opening day 2016.
So next season.
Exactly. It's going to be a four-story apartment complex that rises above the center field wall. Opening day 2016, people should start to be able to move in.
That is unbelievable. Now, with it still being in the construction mode,
yes.
I mean, will that cause any problems as far as gameplay is concerned with the Lugnuts, or is it so far back that it won't cause
anything? No. Here are the problems that it causes. When you look out to center field, it'll be a different sight between this year and next year. Next year, you'll start to say, whoa, right now you can still see the trees beyond the construction.
Right.
Next year, suddenly we'll have something new for the batters to shoot for.
How about that? All right, well, I tell you what. Well, again, one of my favorite events to cover in this area is, of course, the Crosstown Showdown, where the Lugnuts take on the MSU baseball team. For those that may be living under a rock and don't know what the Crosstown Showdown is, can you kindly tell them what it is, Jesse?
This is the 9th annual exhibition. Celebrates Lansing and East Lansing. Michigan State brings its entire team. All those players who aren't playing this year, everybody gets in. The Toronto Blue Jays send in their top prospects who aren't ready for Lansing. Mm-hmm. Second-round draft pick Sean Reed Foley is here. Connor Green, who's personal best friends with Charlie Sheen, he's here from Santa Monica.
Wow.
Jesus Tinoco, top prospect out of Venezuela, he's here. They'll be there to pitch against Michigan State. Get the taste of it. Labatt Thirsty Thursday, $2 sodas, $2 beers, commemorative baseball handed out to the first 2,000 fans that come in. 7-inning game, just an exhibition. Everybody gets involved, and it's about baseball for Michigan State, for the Lugnuts, for the entire area.
Now, you know, I've attended this event in the past, and it is always a packed one. You guys have set a few attendance records over the years, right?
The three biggest crowds in the history of the ballpark have been at that game. I believe 2012, 12,997 fans packed in. And the other fun thing is we never know what surprise cameos you might see. So, for example, you look down and suddenly there's Mark Hollis coaching at third base, or Susie Merchant is coaching at first base, or we never know who might just drop on by for the experience. Sparty and Big Lug might get into a dance-off. We don't know if the dance team might find their way out. It is for everybody.
Now, I got to ask you, Jesse, can we get an exclusive? Can you let any cats out the box right now here on Current Sports? Any surprises on Thursday?
I believe we'll be seeing Mr. Hollis in attendance.
There we go.
I've told you... The players that are coming in for one game only, Reed Foley, Tinoco Green, they're not members of the Lugnuts roster. They flew in for this game. They will fly back to Florida immediately afterward. They are worth watching.
That is unbelievable stuff. Well, I will be in the house. I actually will have a post-game report from, of course, the Crosstown Showdown this Thursday. And then after that, you guys really officially start the year, right? Who do you guys take on?
At Friday night, the Lake County Captains, the Cleveland Indians team, featuring the Indians' top draft pick from last year. And because it's our 20th anniversary opening day, we're throwing back the ticket prices.
Oh.
Every seat, $5.50.
How about that? Now, this is a three-game series starting on Friday? Or
yes, three games in 2 days. Because tomorrow's the Crosstown Showdown. That means Saturday, doubleheader.
Wow. I tell you what, get your popcorn ready, folks. That is going to be a fantastic series this weekend. Really can't believe that the season is just now starting. Oh, my goodness. Hopefully the weather breaks a little bit better than what it has right now. It's about, 40 degrees outside. But, hey, nonetheless, baseball keeps you warm, right,
Jesse?
That's
exactly right. Baseball brings the spring.
Gotta love that. And I'm very excited about the Hall of Fame, of course. Again, that's June 27th. And again, that's going to be out in left field, you said?
Left field, left center. As you walk along that 360-degree concourse, you'll be walking right through it.
Now, Jesse, of course, you've seen the incredible ride that the Lugnuts have taken over the years when it comes to stadium additions, the fan hoopla each and every season. For you, Jesse, I mean, what's it like to see the evolution of the Lugnuts over the years? And it's got to help when you have an owner in Tom Dixon who is willing to throw money into this stadium to make the fan experience unlike any other when it comes to minor league baseball. He's got to be a joy to work with.
Oh, my gosh. I love going around Lansing and seeing folks wearing their Lugnuts caps. I love seeing how this stadium is getting better and better. This renovation is huge. Things you don't even see. Our offices are worlds improved. The press box upstairs, we're installing different things left and right to make it look professional. Mm-hmm. 20 years, yes, but it doesn't need to have that feel. Stadiums can be like phones or cars or computers, where after a couple of years you start saying, what's everybody else doing? Is this getting defunct?
Right.
Cooley Law School Stadium is now renewed, and you can make a case that when this is all done, we're going to be one of the best facilities in the minors right here in Lansing. So Tom Dixon saying, I'm committed to the next 20 years, making sure that the Lugnuts are part of this community. I love that. I love that the fact that the team is a part of the Mid-Michigan identity.
Right, that is certainly true. Now, I got to ask you, Jesse, what do you think makes Tom Dixon such a dynamic owner?
Loves baseball. Loves the game. When he walks around, he is looking at things from the businessman's perspective, but also from the fan's perspective, saying, what would be awesome? What do I feel like eating? I don't want your normal run-of-the-mill ballpark food. We need something special. We need, when people walk into this ballpark, let's have them see a camel on Wednesdays. Let's have Fridays and Saturdays, we're going to have fireworks, but we're going to do more. We're going to give away flat-screen TVs.
Right.
Anything so that you can say your experience at the ballpark was unlike a just normal run-of-the-mill. There's something that you'll remember.
Now, and are there any new promotions that are being enacted? Of course, you just mentioned Humphrey the Camel. He'll be back on Wednesdays, right?
Yes, every Wednesday. So it's a hump day today.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday home game, Humphrey the Camel will be walking around.
Gotta love that. And also, you're bringing back Flat Screen Fridays?
Yes, Flat Screen Fridays, where we give away a flat screen TV in each of the first 8 innings. Mm. We've got our LAFCU fireworks after games. Let's see, Labatt Thirsty Thursdays with the $2 beers every Thursday night. Tuesdays are the dollar deal days. $1 hot dogs, $1 ice cream sandwiches and drinks, and more. We'll have Star Wars night. We'll have Glow Nuts night, where we've got all sorts of glow-in-the-dark things. I believe we're even doing a Pure Michigan night this year, where
really?
We want to celebrate Michigan.
Wow, that is unbelievable, folks. Well, as you just heard from Jesse, it's going to be one incredible year. You are definitely going to want to get your tickets for as many home games as you can at Cooley Law School Stadium. It's going to be a thrilling time. Now, Jesse, what I love about you is you are just a sports enthusiast overall. I mean, of course, you know, you are the Lansing Lugnuts, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, but you watch basketball. I mean, you watch everything. I want to talk to about the tourney really briefly with you, because
yeah.
I'm sure you followed MSU's run to the Final Four, which was so improbable. I mean, because if you would have told me that this team, especially after the loss to Texas Southern midseason, that they would have made it all the way to the Final Four. First off, when you filled out your bracket, how far did you have the Spartans going?
Okay, so my brother and I are really close, and we go over our brackets together, and I had them beating Virginia. I had them advancing to the Elite Eight. I had them on the verge of the Final Four, and he started to yell at me. He said, you've been living in Lansing too long. And I said,
go back to reality, right?
Yeah, guess what? You know what wins in March? Defense, rebounding, and guys who can hit clutch shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they made it as far as they could. There was no shame at all in losing to the eventual national champion. Credit Tom Izzo and credit his guys for, yeah, they were getting doubted. And people around this area take basketball so seriously that I would not have wanted to be the players in December at parts of January and February.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did with this year, with less talent than Michigan State has had in prior years, they went further than most Spartans teams.
That is certainly true. Now, a quick segue into our next segment after the second break, I should say, here on the show. Jesse, of course, you have followed and been the broadcaster for the CMU women's basketball team. Now, of course, I don't know if you watched last night, but UConn, again, 3 straight for the UConn Huskies in the world of NCAA women's hoops. 10, he ties John Wooden, Gino Auriemma. I mean, such a powerhouse program led by an unbelievable coach. I mean, for UConn, to see UConn with this amount of dominance in the college women's game, I mean, how special is what we're watching right now?
Ever hear people say Ronda Rousey could be bad for her sport because she's so much better than everybody else?
Right.
I say no. I say it's the opposite. When you've got quality that high, that is good because everybody has a bar. UConn sets the bar. I'm proud of my Maryland Terrapins. They got destroyed. And you can look at who UConn beat this year. South Carolina, undefeated, goes into Storrs, Connecticut, and gets waxed.
Right.
Let's everybody know this is what you have to measure up to. Here's the standard. And Gino Auriemma sets the standard. And yes, he brings in the best high school women's basketball players to the country. but they play basketball at such a great level at both ends and at an entertaining level where they run the court. They get up and down. They put their shots up. They play unselfishly. What, four different players had over 100 assists this year?
Unbelievable.
I love what they do. When they beat you, and then you tip your cap. You don't blame the referees. You don't say, oh, I don't know, maybe there was something else that had something to do with it. You say, they are better. So good for Gino Auriemma, and best of luck to every other women's program trying to keep up with them.
Where does Gino rank on your all-time coach list?
He's up there. Put him on Mount Rushmore.
He is on Mount Rushmore, so he's top four, top five.
And the problem with doing that is when you put him above other people, people take it as a slight.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you put Phil Jackson against Red Auerbach, whoever you choose is your number one. The person who loves the other says, what? But he accomplished this and this and this. No, no, no. I'm not putting that guy down. I'm building this one up. Gino Auriemma is one of the best coaches in any sport in his game.
Mm-hmm.
At what he has done in his game, he's dominated, and I can't see any coach at any sport at any level who'd want to accomplish more than what he has achieved.
10 national titles. That's mind-blowing when you think about that. Of course, tying the great John Wooden, which many people feel as though is the greatest coach of all time when it comes to hoops, at least. Jesse, always fantastic, folks. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, Lansing Luckness play-by-play announcer. Again, the Crosstown Showdown this Thursday, the unofficial start to the Lucknut season. And, of course, over the weekend, they have a three-game series that really kicks off the year. Jesse, always a pleasure, my man.
Al, thank you very much.
You are the man, my friend. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk about that unbelievable accomplishment, UConn topping Notre Dame for the national title. Also, Rory McIlroy, more marketable than Tiger Woods? We'll debate about that as well. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
The BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Clip.
Welcome to Assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wife Factor.
This is Science and Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this fantastic hump day. Happy Wednesday, ladies and gents. Again, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. We have about a little under 15 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are going to go to line one. My man, Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Big Al.
My man, how you doing?
Hey, I just got done jogging my 5 miles, and I was reading the Bible here, and I was just going to tell you, they got this thing at Cracker Barrel. It's blowing my mind away. I give them away to the children's hospital and the churches. It's called Sweet Reggie. He tells 12 different jokes to a pretty girl, and he says, ruff, ruff, ruff. It's really cute. You ever get a chance, get to go into Cracker Barrel and get one of those.
I'm going to have to do that. And you're telling me you just ran 5 miles reading?
Every day except Sunday, my friend. I'll be 66 in August.
Whoa. I need to get on the Ray workout plan because I am totally slipping right now. That is fantastic, Ray. Keep it up.
Three-quarters of a mile backwards. Ever seen anybody do that?
I've never seen that. That's a sight to see. That's unbelievable.
Most of my kids are 8 and 13. I went down to Florida. I said, why do you pitchers run back? I said, well, build the strength up in your legs.
Wow.
I've been doing it for like 25 years. And I run backwards, and kids about 20 said, hey, Ray, you're running the wrong way. I said, that's the story of my life, running backwards.
That's unbelievable. Ray, Michigan State needs to give you a jersey, okay, my friend? That's unbelievable.
Hey, I'm a big Indians fan.
Yeah.
I used to be a Tigers fan when I was a kid, 68, whatever, and the Indians were so terrible, I always started rooting for them. They were underdogs.
Right.
And Corey Kluber won the Cy Young Award, 18-9 last year.
Yep.
They got him on the cover. I already give out 1,000 baseballs because I used to do it for Michigan, but you know how I feel about them now.
Right.
So I do it for the Indians. And he had a no-hitter for 5 1/3 innings and lost 2-0. You can't blame the pitcher sometimes.
Right. No, I agree. No, I definitely agree. I mean, you know, sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles in baseball. I mean,
it does.
It's so tough.
You might win 2-1 one time, lose one to nothing the next game. You never know.
Right, exactly. And, you know, baseball, you know, I always say baseball, speaking of running, I mean, baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint, Ray.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when you look at a team at the very beginning of the year, you know, they may be kind of up and down, topsy-turvy. But then if you hit that right stride, right, and if you're in a playoff race, right before October hits, I mean, you can make a pretty formidable run.
It's just like me when I'm out jogging. There'd yep. be these guys will sprint by me like make me look like a turtle.
Right.
And then I keep running when they stop.
Right. Exactly. It's like the rabbit and the hare. There you go.
It really is the way life is.
Rabbit and the turtle. I should say the hare and the turtle. That story
is
legendary.
I was disappointed in State, and I was disappointed in Wisconsin. Couldn't finish that off 74 years since they won a national title. But you know what? I give the guy from Duke all the credit in the world. 13 minutes left. He brung those two, one white guy and the other one point guys, and they dribble drive to the hoop. And I don't know how they got some of those shots off and how they made them, but they did.
I'll tell you what, you got to tip your cat to those freshmen. If you look at it,
yes.
The four freshmen who played in that Duke national championship game, they scored 60 of the 68
yeah.
total points for Duke. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's the first time that's ever happened.
And some of the shots they were making were almost impossible off
right.
the backboard. I mean, I didn't think they were just throwing them up off the backboard and they were going in.
That Tyus Jones runner for the foul and one was just unbelievable. And how about Grayson Allen? I mean, Grayson Allen, that little freshman
yeah.
came out of nowhere and just really kind of stole the show.
But do you remember how they dribbled, drive to the hoop three or four times?
Yeah.
And got made those shots. Then Wisconsin stopped that, and they were making those threes at the end.
Right, right. Unbelievable.
That's the biggest you got to have a point guard.
You
and
do.
I thought Wisconsin had good enough point guards, but they didn't at the end.
Right, yeah. And, you know, you got to give a hats off to Bo Ryan. I mean, to get this team to a national
right.
title game the first time since 1941.
Yep.
I mean, you got Frank Kaminsky, Nigel Hayes, Sam Decker. I mean, those guys, they were unbelievable this year. What a run.
74 years. I was hoping they could end the drought, but it –
yeah.
You know, Decker just didn't have the game. He had all the rest of the games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If he'd
exactly.
had his total 18, that they would have won by one.
Yeah, yeah, and you got to give a lot of credit to Coach K.
What do you think
K.
of the baseball season? I imagine the Tigers are going to be the favorite over the Indians, but I'm a little excited about my Indians, too, even though they got beat in the opener 2-0, that they can make a run at this year.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Tigers, again, I think that, again, the Tigers have big bats. I mean, they had big
yeah.
bats just about every single year,
yeah,
right?
Cabrera and Martinez.
How about Yoenis Cespedes? He was so impressive in that opening day. I mean,
yeah,
my
and he
goodness.
Robbed that guy of a home run.
Yeah, I mean, he's so versatile. I mean, he's so athletic.
Why
I love him.
They let him go. That was the biggest mistake Oakland ever made.
I'm telling you, man, he is very, very impressive. So they have the hitting. The hitting's there. I'm not too worried about the starting pitching, although I do think I will be paying attention very close to see how healthy JV is. And can he return to some sort of relevance that, you know, we once saw 3 to 4 years ago? I think the starting pitching will be fine. But, again, it's the same problem I've been worried about all, you know, the past, what, 3 or 4 years now. And it's
yeah.
the bullpen. I'm not convinced on Joe Nathan. I don't know. And again, as I said on yesterday's show, to see how short that leash is on Joe Nathan and how soon Brad Ausmus makes a change, if he needs to, is going to be very intriguing to watch. But overall, I think the Tigers will make the playoffs. Again, I said at the beginning of the week, can they make a World Series? Can they win a World Series? Sure, but different adjustments have to be made throughout the season, specifically when it comes to those guys relieving the starting pitching in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings.
Well, the best trades are some of the ones you don't ever make a trade, like Oakland trading that guy away to the Tigers.
Right.
But, you know, I remember when I was a kid, Rocky Colavito. He was great at power hitter for the Indians, and they traded him for Harvey Keene, a batting champion. It was one of the worst blunders the Indians ever made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They haven't had a right-handed power hitter since Albert Bell. I mean, 30 years.
Yeah.
They got one in their farm system. They better bring him up pretty quick because they're not getting any offense.
Right,
and you
right.
guys, I think David Price is going to go against Corey Kluber Saturday in Cleveland Stadium.
How fun would that be to see, right?
That's going to be a heck of a game to watch.
Yes, without a doubt. And I love David Price. How about that opening day that he had, huh? I mean,
yeah,
unbelievable.
He looked really, really good. And so did Kluber. I mean, he had 7 strikeouts and only 2 walks, even though he only gave up a couple runs.
Right.
But, and 8 innings, that ain't bad for your first start out.
Yeah, certainly.
But
certainly
I think that's going to be quite a matchup come Saturday, Kluber and Price.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be fun to watch, man. You better believe we'll recap it here on Current Sports, Ray.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
All right, take
Check
care.
Out the Cracker Barrel.
There you go. Definitely. I'm jotting it down as we speak.
Sweet Reggie, they call him.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Ray. My man Ray, gotta love that. Yeah, and Alex, you know, going back to the Tigers, man, I do think, you know, that, you know, as Ray said, I think they can make a great run. Again, there's just a few holes that I'll be looking at to see if they get filled over the course of the year.
Definitely. My whole thing on it is wait for the series after the Twins, and then we'll talk.
All right.
Because it's the Twins.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is Minnesota, but hey, who knows? I mean, maybe the Twins turn out to be good this year. That's a long shot, but hey, who knows? All right, I want to transition really quickly here, Alex, because you heard my thoughts on Gino Auriemma, who I think, again, if I had a Mount Rushmore of coaching, I had to agree with Jesse. I think you have to put Gino's name up there. I mean, you talk about 10 national titles? I mean, I don't care if it is women's college basketball. I mean, he is dominating his sport. 10 national titles. This is UConn's third in a row. Again, you know, a lot of comparisons being thrown to John Wooden because, of course, John Wooden, arguably the greatest basketball coach the game has ever seen. He has 10 as well. Both coach college, both 10. I mean, where would you put Gino on your list?
Tough to say, man, because honestly, I haven't seen a lot of women's basketball to really look into it. But what I do see is whenever I see UConn winning, it's by 30, 40 points. I mean, they're clearly dominating teams game in and game out. So I would definitely put him up there, definitely in the upper echelon or that top tier of coaches. Hard to match him along others, but hey, definitely high. Where do you put him on yours?
Man, he's top five, without a doubt. I mean, anytime you reach double digits when it comes to your respective sport in national championships, you're up there. You're up there with the greats like, you know, the Red Auerbachs of the world, the Phil Jacksons of the world, again, John Woodens of the world, Vince Lombardi's. I mean, anytime you dominate your sport throughout a period of time and reach that double-digit national championship talk, I mean, it's truly remarkable. It's truly remarkable. And you know, looking at this program, I mean, just about every year you can expect Gino, even if they have a few losses throughout the year, you can expect them to click at the right time. And, you know, also, looking at the program, the popularity of women's college basketball, you can know nothing about the scheme and other teams and certain players in college basketball, but if you are just a casual sports fan, you know the name Gino Auriemma. You know it. I don't care who you are. Even if you didn't watch one women's college basketball game all year. And that comes with a lot of branding. I mean, and you got to give Gino a lot of credit to that. And another thing is, I mean, you know, I always say success breeds attention. Gino historically always gets the big recruits each and every year. And if you compare him to John Wooden, which is what Gino is being compared to left and right because of the similarities, both coaching college, both reaching that golden number of 10. Both of them coach great players. John Wooden, of course, Kareem the Dream, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I should say, Bill Walton, Auriemma coach, others like Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore. I mean, just unbelievable talent, but it's not about just having talent. We saw that with Kentucky. It's about honing that talent and staying consistent, which is what Gino has done. So hats off to the man. It's been quite a thrill. Right. I really hope that he can add to it. I mean, and the thing is, Gino's not, it's not like he's old. I mean, Gino probably will be coaching for like, what, 10, 15 more years? I mean, and he's got 10 right now? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he certainly built an empire there. And hey, breaking news here, reported by one of our students here, Michigan State has finished in the top 10 in both football and basketball in the AP. They're the only university to do that out of all the NCAA to finish in the top 10 in football and basketball.
Yeah.
Two straight years.
How about that? Michigan State, I mean, setting the trend. I mean, and I think it's pretty agreed across the board in college sports that Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio are the best tandem in college, period. When you talk about football and basketball, the two major sports in college. Also, I'm seeing a lot of breaking news coming through. Michigan guard Spike Albrick has surgery on his right hip and will need 4 to 5 months of rehab. Of course, he averaged 7.5 points per game last season. And there was also a death when it comes to the Tigers family that I'm just now seeing as well. Tigers former pitcher Jose Kaplan, hopefully I'm saying that last name right, he died at the age of 34 from an apparent heart attack. That's according to his wife. He played 10 games with Detroit back in 2007. So very, very sad news. And also, I don't know if you saw this story, Alex, but it kind of sent a jolt when I first read about it. But seven people, including Illinois State University associate men's basketball coach Torrey Ward and deputy athletic director Aaron Lynch, they died when their small plane crashed while heading back from the NCAA tourney Final Four. Did you hear about that news, Alex? So sad. The aircraft went down overnight on Monday, about 2 miles east of the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. That's according to, of course, McLean County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Bill Tate. And again, that's about 5 miles from the campus of Illinois State. So this plane goes down 5 miles where they're supposed to be landing and sadly taking the life of 7 people. Wow, that's jolting news. I couldn't believe that when I heard that, folks. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to give a shout-out to Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Thanks a lot, Jesse, for joining me on today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.